It's the 11th, and oh boy, are we excited because what do we have on Thursday? Exam number 2, which covers chapter 5. Lots of concepts, terms, definitions. We have some time. We'll go over them today. A couple of calculations, which we'll go over very quickly. But then chapter 6 is the serious calculations that we went through last week, the price ratio models and the dividend discount models. And we're going to finish up with the best dividend discount model available. You get one page of notes, plus you get to bring your formula present value table sheet. That's the one I gave out last week. We're going to use it again today. Make sure you bring it out. You need your calculator today. I got some extra calculators. Bring a calculator, a Scantron, so you get, you know, one page of notes and then the formula sheet, so you can sneak your notes inside that too. And then Chapter 5 assignment is due on Thursday. So we're going to continue with Chapter 6, finish up. We'll have plenty of time. We should have plenty of time to go over Worksheet number 2, which is exactly like Worksheet number 1, which is exactly like the assignment for Chapter 6, which is exactly like the calculations on the exam. They're all going to be in the same order. But first, we need a good joke. Who's got a good joke? Nobody has a good joke? Did I tell you about the alligator that walked into home? You getting tired of the bar jokes? They're almost over. Actually, they never end. And how about the duck? And the rhinoceros and the mushroom and the... Did I tell you about the condominium? I didn't tell you about the sophisticated, well-dressed, svelte, attractive condominium that walked into a bar?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me tell you. This sophisticated, svelte, well-dressed, attractive condominium walks into a bar. And she orders a daiquiri because she's sophisticated. And the bartender goes to make her a daiquiri. And there's a stately Windsor mansion on the other side of the bar. And he gives the bartender a look like, no, I'll pay for this, my good man. So the bartender makes the daiquiri and brings it over to the attractive, sophisticated, well-dressed, svelte condominium, who takes out her purse and goes to pay and says, how much? And he says, no, that's okay. It's on the house. It's on the house. You know, the house is the stately Windsor mansion. It's on the house. See? You don't believe that they could get worse. You don't believe that they could get worse, but they can. What? That wasn't as bad as the last one? What was the last one? The lamp?
Oh, the
one about Al Qaeda? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was not mine, though. That wasn't mine. Okay. All right, so how are we doing? We're still bouncing along. Look at 3D. Look at 3D. Where's Michael? He's not here today. Down 25%. So our $10,000 has become $7,400. JC Poopies, yeah, it's done well. It's coming back. General Electric, how are they doing? Over 100 years. Well, GE's doing okay. It's only down 1.5% since we bought it. But the best one is the one that we didn't even want, and that was DuPont. Waste Management's not doing too well. Procter & Gamble's holding their own. But look at one 3D printer can hurt you bad. Well, that's just it. If we really do believe that this company is going to be one of the winners in the 3D printing world, now would be a good time to buy more shares. But, you know, we've already committed ourselves. Okay, so let's get going on this, and we were up to here. Now, we had gone through the price ratio models. We'll go through them again today. I'm sorry?
Right,
it's all Chapter 6. We went through the zero growth model, dividend discount model, the constant perpetual growth model, and we did some calculations with them, and then we took a look at some of the ones that we're not going to do. But the last model that we're going to look at, and remember, this is just a smattering of there are dozens and dozens of these things out there, is the discounted cash flow model. It's also called the dividends earnings model, but it doesn't use earnings, so I can't understand why that. But that's okay. French toast isn't from France, and it's not toast, so that's the world we live in. But this one uses the present value. There's that word again, that phrase again, of expected dividends and the present value of the expected future price to value a share of stock. So the formula becomes the value of the stock is equal to the present value of future dividends plus the present value of the price of the stock when we plan to sell it. If you remember the first example, the very first pure incarnation, that company paid 3 dividends, 1 each year, and then went out of business. But do companies usually do that? No, they continue to pay dividends, and then the value of the stock is worth something at the time when you're thinking you're ready to sell. The company is still in business. We use the present value multipliers from the table, so you need that present value sheet. And so if you don't have it, I'll have to pass a couple out here. Who doesn't have their present value multipliers? Okay, I only have so many. Pass them around. I only made so many copies. And you'll need your calculator. And get worksheet number one out. I'll pass those out again. It is not covered in our text, which I think is a real sadness, not a very good thing. But it's really just a pure form of the dividend discount model that we looked at the very beginning. As with the other models, this model is very sensitive to our estimates. Very sensitive. Okay, is that all? There's no more left? Okay, do you have one? Okay, we have to give one to Daniqua here. She wasn't here on Thursday. Very sensitive to our choice of required rate of return, and hence can be very far off the mark. So let's take a look at an example here. It's January. We make it easy. We'll start January 1st, right? Pretzels Unlimited is currently selling for $22 a share and will pay $2 per share in dividends in 2014. That's what they're paying, 50 cents a quarter. They pay $2. They expect to increase their dividends, or we expect them to increase their dividends, to $2.20 next year, and then $2.30 in 2016, and finally $2.30 in 2017. Now, here's where we add the wrinkle that's so important that they didn't do in the book. We believe the price to be $27 at the end of 2017, and that's when we think we'll sell the stock. So we require a rate of return of 12%. How does this work? Well, what we do is we take the value of the stock equal to the present value of the future dividends. Remember, we're going to be getting $2 this year, $2.20 next year, $2.30 next year, and $2.30 the year after that. That's going to be coming to us in the future. We use the present value calculations to bring the value back to the present. What is it worth to us today? And then we add to that the present value of the future price of the stock when we plan to sell. We believe it's going to be worth $27 in 4 years. What is it worth to us today? So we just use the present value table. You got the present value table out? Go across the 12% and down 1 year. And what is the present value multiplier for 12% at 1 year? Everyone see 0.893? Nod your head yes or go, I don't know, what the hell you're talking about, Piano? Okay, you multiply $2 times 0.893, and you get $1.786. Then we're going to get $2.20 in 2 years. Go across the 12% down 2 years, what do you see? 0.797, everybody see that? We multiply the $2.20 times 0.797, and that is worth to us today $1.7534. And then we do the same for the year number 3 and year number 4. And so this is what the dividends are worth right here. Turns out they're worth about $6.64. Plus, we expect the price to be $27 at the end of 4 years. So notice, what's the multiplier here for year number 4? Everyone should say 0.636. What's the multiplier here? It's the same, because it's 4 years. What some people will do, they'll just keep going down the table and put year number 5 here. But this is assuming we're going to sell it at the end of the 4th year. So don't get confused. In fact, I'm going to tweak it to make it so hopefully you won't confuse. If our required rate of return is 12%, you do all these calculations, you wind up with a price of about $23.80. So we believe the stock is worth $23.80. What's it selling for? $22. So we can buy something that we believe is worth $23.80 for $22. Is that a good deal? Yeah. If our required rate of return were 15% and we ran the numbers, do you think it would come out the same? No. We'd probably find that, no, this is not good enough for us. That's why prices are all over, and you figure, well, why would somebody pay that much for that? Because they have a much lower required rate of return. They're not worried about getting 12% or 15%. They're happy with 12%. So now what we're going to do is we're going to rewrite this in a fashion that I hope you like and makes it easier to do the calculations. I'm going to rewrite it. Don't you write it yet. I'm going to want you to rewrite the next slide. What I do is I write down the years. What years are we looking at? 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. Then we write the future. You don't have to put the word future. I just put the word cash flows. This is the money that we expect to come in the door. We expect $2. Oops, two of these. We'll take care of that in a minute. $2 in 2014, $2.30 in 2020, I'm sorry, 2015, $2.30, $2.30, and then those are the dividends. What we also expect is the stock price to be worth $27 at the end of the fourth year. Are you with me? So I think it's easier to see in a spreadsheet fashion. Then what we do is we put down the present value multipliers for 12%, which we've already, you're looking at them, right? Can you see them on your present value sheet? Make sure you understand this, because this is the part that confuses people. What are all these numbers? 712-68636. And then, just let's see if strikes at any age. I told you what DNA stood for, right? You know what DNA stands for? No. National Dyslexic Association. National Dyslexic Association. Yeah. She does know what DNA is. Most people try to go deoxynucleic. Yeah. 0.636 and then 0.636. And so then it makes it easy to see, right? What you do then is multiply the $2 times the 0.893, and you get 1.786. So this column becomes the discounted cash flows. And then $2.20, $0.797, $2.30, $0.712, $1.6376. $2.30. I'll stop right here, just for a moment. But you see, it's much easier to comprehend and calculate in this. And this is what I hope you will do. I think it's easier to write it out in a spreadsheet format. In fact, the online students, and if you have a laptop in here, you could easily do it on your laptop. And there's a spreadsheet on the website. There's two spreadsheets on the website. So a lot of the online students, they will turn in their work on the spreadsheet. And that's fine with me. You want to do your Chapter 6 assignment on the spreadsheet, go right ahead. But what if we simply say, look, this is kind of ridiculous. Why should we do this multiplication twice? Right? We're going to get $2.30 in 2017, plus we expect the price to be $27. Let's rewrite the spreadsheet so that we just have four rows instead of five, because we're going to get $2.30 in dividends, plus we expect the stock price to be $27. Are you with me? Am I going too fast? So that's $2.30 plus $27 is $29.30. And I think that makes life a little bit easier. It removes the calculation. Are you with me? So $29 times 30 cents, I'm sorry, $29.30 times the 6.6 is $18.6348. And then we sum all those up and we get $23 and close enough, $23.81. We're trying to avoid the impression of precision, the pretense of precision. Or we don't know. Do we really know that we're going to get these dividends? Could the company stop the dividends anytime they want to? Do we know that the price is going to be $27? No, it's the future. If we know what's going to happen in the future, it wouldn't be the future. So we don't want to, look how precise we are. We want to avoid that. Does this make any sense, folks? Have we gone too fast? Because I'll back up and do it again. Because this is so cool. This is very cool. Adding the dividend and the stock price in the last year saves us a couple of manual calculations, but more importantly, it also allows us to use a special spreadsheet function to calculate what is called the internal rate of return. The internal rate of return is something you don't normally see until the upper level finance classes or graduate level finance classes. It is a measure of what rate of return we expect to get from a series of cash flows. But to do the calculation, you have to include the negative cash flows, the outflows, as well as the positive cash flows, the inflows. Someday, when you take an upper level or graduate finance or investment class, you will learn how to manually compute the internal rate of return, and hopefully you will not have a sadistic professor who will make you do it more than once, because it's not easy. That's why we have computers. It's not that it's that hard, it's just that it's a bunch of calculations that you basically have to guess. And for those of you who've taken math classes, it's called Newton's method. Anybody ever do it? Yeah, it's a pain in the... It's time-consuming. That's why we have computers. We're simply going to enter in the spreadsheet formula and press the Enter key. Are you with me? So those of you who are so inclined, and you want to make your life a little easier doing Chapter 6 assignment, go on the website and you will see a spreadsheet. Here it is, Pretzels Unlimited Discounted Cash Flow Spreadsheet. So I'm going to save that to the desktop, and then I'm going to call up Excess. What's it called?
Excel.
I don't use it myself. I use Quadro, but nobody else does, and that's why I'm strange. But it doesn't matter. If you look at this, this is the spreadsheet that we just did manually, where we have this. The spreadsheet can actually calculate the present value multipliers, and so those are the calculations. There's the actual calculations for the present value multiplier. We don't even need the table. You just type in the future cash flows, and it figures out what the present value multiplier is. You can change the required rate of return, and this is why spreadsheets are very cool. You really should learn to use one. If we change it to 11, all of a sudden, 11%, now the thing's worth $24.50. If we change it to 15%, now it's worth $21.67. Are you with me? Isn't it cool?
How much would it be at 69%?
69? Forget it. At 69%, it'd be worth $6.
Crazy.
Yeah, forget it. What is 69%? You're just trying to be funny or something like that? So it's 12%. Okay. Now, but on the second page, you see here we got present value here, and then here's internal rate of return. On the second page, we've rewritten the spreadsheet to include the negative cash flow, the outflow, because we don't get the stock for free. We've got to pay for it. So in year zero, in other words, right today, that's the wrong date, I have to fix that. It was the right date on the other side, wasn't it? We put in $22 to buy the stock, and then we get $2, 2014, 2000. Let me change that right now. Bugging me. Okay, there you go. $2 in 2014, $2 and 20 cents, 2015, 2016 cents, in 2016, and the $2.30 plus the $27 we think the stock is worth. And then we type in the formula, which if you know anything about formulas in a spreadsheet, is pretty straightforward. Internal rate of return, equal sign IRR, C4, including the negative cash flow, down to C8. And then you're supposed to put in a guess, what you think it's supposed to be. You can actually leave it zero, and the spreadsheet will do its best to figure it out. Sometimes it can't. Sometimes it'll come back and say, I can't figure out the answer to this, because internal rate of return doesn't always work. But the internal rate of return is telling us that if you're going to pay this much for this stock, and you're going to get these cash flows, you're going to get 14.5%. Isn't this cool? Because what you can do... Now, it doesn't have to be stock. Is you can look at any investment, whether it's a stock or a bond or a rental property, and say, I'm going to pay this much money for the rental property, I'm going to get this much in rent, and in 10 years it's going to be worth this much. You see? You can use any investment. A nuclear reactor. It's going to cost us $2 billion to build the darn thing. We're going to get $300 million in electricity in the next 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years, and then in 30 years we got to dismantle it, and that cost $3 billion. Are you with me? Understand what's going on? So this internal rate of return is very, very cool. It allows you to take a look at anything that has negative cash flows, money going out the door, positive cash flows, and see what can we reasonably expect. Now, do we know we're going to get these cash flows? I've already asked you. The answer is no, we don't know. So we want to avoid the pretense of precision. We want to avoid the pretense of precision. And so we just looked at this on the spreadsheet. The negative $22 coming out, 2014, 15, 16, and 17, we believe we're going to get 14.5% from this stock if things go the way we believe it's going to go. Okay, now, let's stop for a second and do get worksheet number one out and do Jimba Jamba Jumba Juice, is it? Okay, so worksheet number one, and those of you who don't have worksheet number one, I'll pass it out to you. Okay, who needs worksheet number one? Whoops, sorry, Daniqua. Pass these back that way. Pass them all back. Okay, who will read worksheet number one?
I'll read it.
All right. Is that Daniel again?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I didn't change the date. Dumb guy. I'm getting old. Okay, so the years are 2013, 14, and 15. Our future cash flows are $1.80 in dividends in 2013, $2 in 2014, and $2.25 in 2015. What do we expect the price of the stock to be at the end of 2015? $75. So we add to that dividend in the third year to $75. And so what is our cash flow in year, in the third year? 75 plus 225 or 77.25. Okay, that's easy enough. Now, what is our required rate of return? 10%. Do you see that? It says so. It says 10%. So now go across the 10%, and what is the present value multiplier for year number one?
0.909.
What's the present value multiplier for year number two?
826.
And the present value multiplier for year number three? 751. Does everybody see that?
What? Yeah.
Ooh.
At 10%. Go across 10% down years 1, 2, and 3. So now take 2 minutes and 17 seconds and multiply $1.80 times 0.909, $2 times 0.826, 77.25 times 0.751, and come up with what are called the discounted cash flows. What are those cash flows in the future worth to us today? Come on, do it. What are you waiting for? You're done already? You're fast. Faster than I am. That's why they have spreadsheets. I wish we all had laptops in here or whatever, tablets or something like that. I've been doing this for 10, 12 years. Can't we have a mobile lab? Can we have a lab we could wheel in and they'll all be laptops and we can hand out the laptops to the students? And at the end of the class, they bring them all back, and they laughed at me, and they said, oh, yeah, right. They'll bring them all back. Okay, fine. So, you all done? That was only 1 minute and 37 seconds. So what's the first cash flow?
1.6362.
Second cash flow? 652. Mm-hmm. And the third cash flow? I didn't hear that.
58.01475.
$4,475. And if you add those three cash flows up, you get $61.30. Close enough. What do we believe the stock is worth on a discounted basis? $61.30. What's it selling for? No, that's what we believe it's going to be selling for. But the current market price is $56. So we can buy a stock that we think is worth $61 for $56. Not bad. Are you with me? Now, if it were selling for $70, would we think it's a good deal?
No.
No, we'd think it's not worth it, and we'd go somewhere else. Or we might say, you know, maybe we'll lower our we'll lower it to 8%, see what happens. Are you with me, understand? Is it that hard?
No.
Is it? I don't think so. Again, as with the other models, it's conceptually harder than it is to do the calculation. Doing the calculation, once you know, you put this here, put that there, boom, boom, and there's the answer. It's pretty straightforward. Adriana? Okay, $77.27. You take the $2.25, that's the dividend in year number three, and you add to that the price of the stock that we expect in the year number three. So do you see $2.25 plus 75? So it's 77. So that's 77.25. That times 0.751. I know, my Spanish is horrible. Lo siento. Okay. All right, questions? Let's continue. What a great class. Not like last semester. Okay. Yeah, dumb. They were dumb. Not that class. This was a bit of this one. Okay, now. Yeah, you remember that. Dumb, yeah. Discounted cash flow. All right. Jeans or Us is currently selling for $20 at $21 a share. But it pays no dividends. Wait a minute. How do you use a dividend discount model that pays no dividends? Ah. We believe that Jeans or Us will sell for around $50 per share in 5 years. Our required rate of return is 13%. How can we determine if this is a good investment? Well, with no dividends, all the other models fall apart. It's worth zero. But with this model, the dividends, yes, are worth zero, but the fact that we believe the stock is going to be worth $50 in 5 years, we can discount that $50 back to the present and tell us what we think it's worth today. If we have a 13% return, or require that, we go across the 13% down 5 years, what is the future value, the present value multiplier?
0.543.
Everybody see
0.543?
You see 0.543. You see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what that formula becomes is zero for dividends because it's not paying any dividends, not going to pay any dividends. It's a biotech company that's reinvesting all the money or burning all their money in getting that drug out the door. But in 5 years, we believe the stock is going to be worth $50, so we multiply that times the present value multiplier for 5 years at 13%, and we find that we believe the stock is worth $27. How much is it selling for? Everyone should say 21. How much is it selling for?
21.
So is it a good buy?
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Is this like GE? Is this like Altria? Is this like Coca-Cola? Is this a company that's been around for 100 years, going to be around in 100 years? No. This is the kind of company that could make you very, very happy or very, very sad. Instead of $50 in 5 years, it might be selling for 50 cents. Does that mean you should not invest in it? Not necessarily. But what I want you to have, dear students, is your eyes wide open. Realize that this is not a Procter & Gamble. This is a very speculative issue, and you may win big, you may lose big. Yes? Okay, go across 13% and down to 5 years. You see that? Let me get you a thing, Michael. Okay? Do everyone see that? Make sure. That's a very important point. Come on over here. That's a very important point. You have to be able to do this. All right? Okay, good. Unlike the other dividend discount models, the discounted cash flow model can still be used if there are no dividends. Very, very cool. Another method that is a cousin of the DDMs is covered in the book called the residual income model. It's basically the same thing, so we're going to skip it. But if you're so inclined, maybe we'll come back to it later. If you're so inclined, go take a look at the residual income model if you have the book 4, 5, or 6, they're in the library. Okay, Piano. Wait a minute. We got to do the last one, right? Let's do the last one. Worksheet number 1. Hello. Come on, do it. Come on, you stupid thing. Wake up or go to sleep. Thank you. Okay, worksheet number 1, the last one. Somebody else want to read this?
No, I'll read it.
No. How about it, Andre? You want to read the last one? We skipped the problem. No. Okay, so again, it's another stock not paying any dividends, losing money. Yes. What did I do? Oh, roll this up. That's number 6 that we did. Oh, you need to see this one, right? Okay. So it's currently selling for $15 a share. We believe that in 3 years it's going to be $35. So what is that $35 in 3 years worth to us today if we require a 12% rate of return? So you tell me what to do. Go across to
12%
down 3 years. What's the present value multiplier?
712.
You take the $35, you multiply it times 0.712, and what is it worth? About $25. Now, is it a good buy? Yeah, because the market is saying we believe it's worth $15. But what do we know about a company like this? They could just, tomorrow, somebody comes up with a better technology, the FDA says, no, we're not going to let your drug be approved, or it makes people grow 3 arms, or who knows? You just never know with companies like this. Their goal, two of them are going to be huge, the rest of them are going to go down the porcelain oasis. So you have to be able to identify this. Now, whether or not you invest in it, that is your decision. But don't fill up your plate with these things. You understand? If you think of a buffet or something like that, this is the really, really radioactive, hot, and spicy stuff. Cool? All right. Now, let's continue. And then what we're going to do is we'll go back and do worksheet number 2, which is exactly like worksheet number 1, which is exactly like your assignment, which is exactly like the problems on the exam. Okay, Piano, this is all great, but just where are we supposed to get all this historical information anyway? And just who decides what next year's earnings per share, sales per share, cash flow per share, dividends per share, et cetera, are going to be, let alone the expected price of a stock in 3 to 5 years? Where are you going to get this information? Well, before the Internet, I guess you would call that BI, before the Internet, I don't know, this information was not readily available. You would normally go to your broker, or you would use one of the industry's respected, trusted information sources. And traditionally, the most respected source was the Value Line. It is still one of the most respected and trusted sources of data and analysis. For many people, it was the only source they used, along with the company's annual report and their cash flow and all the other things that they would come out with, the income statement, the balance sheet. It is not cheap. It is $600 if you want the paper version. And you would think they'd give you a better deal, but if you want it online, it's $540 a year. But that's why we have libraries. And that's why, I don't know, many people just don't even like, you young people, you millennials, don't even, what, the library? I got my library here, my laptop. Wrong. Maybe you think it is. Maybe it is. I mean, for you, it is. But sadly, it's not at the Southwestern Library anymore. We've been hit by the Great Recession hard, and they got rid of it. But if you go to the Chula Vista Main Library, San Diego Main Library, and San Diego, several branch libraries have it. I'm lucky, the one that's not even, it's about a mile away from our house. My wife loves to go and pick out all these books, and I go in there and I play in the value line. And that's an afternoon for us. I don't know about you. You might think, I don't want to go in a library. Old people live there. When, one study which ignored transaction costs and tax consequences only used one indicator. They have this one indicator called the timeliness indicator. And when it's one, they think it's the best time to buy the stock. And so if you had purchased the stock when it got its one rating, and then when it lost its one rating, sold it, you would have handily beaten the market over 20-odd years. Now, is that a guarantee that it's going to continue into the future? No, and it also ignored tax consequences and transaction costs. So in the book is an example of the value line. I'm going to show it on a slide. But these are just some of the things that are on the value line pages. And they use McGraw-Hill, which you got to know it was sticking in McGraw-Hill's craw, because McGraw-Hill owns Standard & Poor's, and Standard & Poor's is a competitor to value line. They have their own sheets. They're not as good. At least they weren't. I haven't looked at them in several years, so I don't know. But they sent them to us for free, and I thought, well, they're not as good as the value line. And obviously, the authors believed the same, because when they were publishing the book, the author said, we want to use the value line. Why can't you use Standard & Poor's? We want to use the value line. Okay. And so they used McGraw-Hill, which is the company that publishes your book. And so look at it. This is just the top page. But look, there's the sales per share for the last several years. Remember, this sixth edition was published in late 2009. There's the cash flow per share, the earnings per share, the dividends per share, the average annual P.E. ratio, the relative P.E. ratio, sales, operating margin, depreciation, net profit. Look at all. It's a sip from the fire hose. Plus, look at what they do. The stock is selling for $28.73 at the end of 2009. And I don't know if you remember, but the 2009 was after the Great Recession, or we weren't out of it yet. But people still believe that the end of the world was nigh. And here they were predicting a stock price in 3 to 4 years between $48 and $67. So where do you get the dividends for the next 3 years? They're predicting dividends now at 90 cents. We believe in 3 years they'll be $1.10. Where do you get the predicted stock price in 3 to 5 years? Do you have to use theirs? Do they make mistakes? Yeah, they're not perfect. They're not perfect. They make mistakes too, but they're pretty darn good. The bottom of the sheet has more information on the left-hand side, including the annual rates for the past 5 years, sales, cash flow, growth, where's the great, remember the price models, capitalization, earnings per share, they discuss an analysis of the stock, and they date it, and pretty darn cool. And this is why I love to go to the library and start digging, because there are thousands. They have thousands of these sheets for companies, and companies you never even heard of. And it's so cool because they put the competitors right next to one another. All the beverage companies and all the software companies, they're all right next to one another, so you can just basically flip around. Let's put them to the test. In late 2009, the price of McGraw-Hill was $28.73. Their price prediction for early 2013 was in the range from $48 to $68. And last year, February 15th, 2013, the price was $45. Pretty darn good, folks. The stock was selling for $28, $29. They predicted in 3 years, and the end of the world was nigh. Remember, the Antichrist had just been elevated. Figured that one out. And these people predicted that the stock price would double, and it did better than that. Not quite. Didn't do quite better than that. Not too bad. Actually, pretty darn good. When they made this prediction at the end of 2009, the stock market had rallied from the depths of the 2008-2009 crisis, but many people still were predicting the end of the world. Some are still predicting the end of the world. Now, let's look at the prediction from the fourth edition. Not so good. Okay. In the fourth edition, the stock price was $47, and they were predicting anywhere between 70 and 85. Okay, what happened? Oops, there's the bottom. How did they do in mid-2005? Well, they predicted that the stock would be 68 to 82, and the stock price was hovering around $24. What happened? Well, it reached 70 bucks. I mean, they were pretty darn close, right? They said 2009 is going to get to 66 to 80. It did that faster, but then started falling as the credit market started reacting to the home mortgage loan crisis. Remember who they own? Standard & Poor's? Standard & Poor's was the company, not one of the three companies, that were giving AAA ratings to these mortgages that were backed by liar loans. The whole thing was coming undone. Home prices were falling. These bonds were defaulting. Insurance companies that insured them were looking at tens of billions of dollars of money that they didn't have that they were supposed to pay off because all these bonds that were triple rated were going under. Triple A rated. It then plummeted as the home loan mortgage crisis spread to the entire financial sector. The prediction for mid-2007 from the fifth edition was even uglier. But what about the early 2003 prediction? In early 2003, it was selling for $54.50, and their target price was between 90 and 110. Now, this is before a split, okay? And there's the bottom. In early 2003, they predicted that the price would be around $90 to 110. Why so much higher? McGraw-Hill split the stock 2-for-1. What happens when you split 2-for-1? You get twice as many shares, and the price goes down in half. Maybe a test question. You have to divide these prices by 2 to compare them to the previous 2 predictions. Hooray for the value line! They were bang on the money because in mid-2006, they hit 120 bucks a share. I get a kick when some investors trash the value line. They make mistakes, like everybody else. But I would sure love to see how those investors' long-term results stack up against the long-term results of the value line. Who do you think would have the better results? Huh? Well, who do you think? Okay. And that, dear students, is chapter 6. Now, real quick, we got plenty of time. Did I go too fast on that? Did I go too fast? Did I lose you? Okay, what we're going to take a look at is the value line for Johnson & Johnson. Now, my apologies. I scanned it at home, and then I forgot to put it on my thumb drive. Oh, I'm getting old. So I ran on over to the copying machine, which does a horrible job. What it does is it copies and it sends an email. And doesn't that look horrible? Yeah, it does. But look, Johnson & Johnson is selling for... Come on, sweetheart, move on over. I hate computers. I hate Microsoft. Why don't I get an Apple? What do you think? Anybody have an Apple? You like easy? But then I got to buy all new software. Anyway, in early 2014, stock price is $92.97. They think the stock price in 2017, 18, 19 is going to be about 102 to 121. So is that a big jump? It's not bad. But it's not like the difference between 2009 and 2012 and 13 when they were predicting doubling of price and the like. But they also are thinking that the dividends are going to go up smartly from around $2.79, $3, to up to $3.75. Oh, yeah. 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 They do. They do. They have a terrible prediction for Titter. I mean, Twitter, yeah. Oh, no, they do. If they think the stock is going to go down, they'll tell you. Oh, no, they're not always optimistic. You might get the impression that they're really optimistic all the time, but they're not. Here's Procter & Gamble. Stock price around $81, right? They're thinking by, 2016, 17, 90 to 110, which is not really that big a jump when you think about it, folks. They're not as optimistic about the future as they were after the organic matter hit the Ventolane device. Yes? No, it comes out every few weeks. They're always redoing it. What you do is you go to the library, you ask to look at the value line, and they'll give you these two huge, something depends on the library. And a couple of libraries will give you these two huge binders. And it's all put in, and every week they come out with different parts. And then they just pull out the parts and put in the new parts. They spend a lot of money doing this. So it is not cheap, but it's a pretty darn good deal. And then here's Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, they're not too excited about either. It's selling for around $39. They figure in 3 to 5 years, $49 to $60 or so. But still, it's not bad. It's just not as exciting as it was. So these 15% returns we've been getting since the Great Recession, we shouldn't expect to get anymore. General Electric, they're a little bit more excited about. $27, $45 to $50 or so. That's not bad. Would you be happy with that?
Yeah.
That's your assignment for Chapter 6. Apart from doing the worksheet assignments, which are basically, assignments, the problems that are like the worksheet assignments, a bonus assignment is to get lost in the value line and just go play with a company or two and do all these models that we did. Yes, sir?
You said for the $600, is that per,
per person.
Well, yeah, but you said it comes out every couple of weeks.
Every week they send a new one.
So it's $600 basically per week that you're
sending? No.
It's
$50 a month. Okay. $600 for the year. And then every week they will send you the parts that they update. But it's huge. It's huge. And when you put it all in binders, there's thousands. There's thousands of companies that they're watching. And now they've come out with a small cap, which even has more companies. That's probably extra. What about, who's this? Altria. They're not too, here you go, Will. They're not too excited about Altria. $37, and in the next 3 or 4 years, it might go down to 33, 34, but up to 48. You buy Altria for the dividends. Look, dividends are now $1.80. They think they're going to be $2.30 in 3 to 4 years. That's the company that makes Siggy's, Virginia Dims, Marlboro. Who's this? Okay, let's take a look at what they think about Google. They like Google. It's selling for $1,100. Well, actually, not that big a deal. $1,100 and $1,300 to $1,500 or so. That's not bad. So, but is Google paying any dividends? Nope, not yet, but they probably might someday. And then who's this? Apple. They've been bullish on Apple for a long time, even though this is when it went insane. People got crazy. But it went down from 700 or so, 700 down to 350, and then back up to, what is it now, 570. They think in 3 to 5 years, $900 to $1,100. So they're happy about Apple. Yeah, now who's this one? Farcebook. They're not too excited about Farcebook. Of course, they've been proved wrong the last few weeks, but Facebook has been going really well. But here you go, Will. Do you think that's it? It's selling for $63 or so. Actually, it's more now, isn't it?
$74.
They think in the next 3 years it'll be worth between $40, $49, and $70. And Twitter is even worse. They really think Twitter is overvalued. They have it way down 3 years. I don't think I copied that one. Okay, questions, thoughts? No, I didn't copy that one. What do you think? Going to play with Value Line? Now, do you think you can tilt the odds in your favor?
Absolutely.
I think better than before.
Better than before?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the whole idea, folks. The whole idea is to have your eyes wide open. If you want to buy Titter, you go ahead and buy it. But realize that it ain't a Procter & Gamble, right? If you want to buy a real hot stock, you understand that you could get burned. Okay, now. Bud? You know, I'm the wrong person to ask. I think they've reached, they said a few, well, this was about 4 or 5 years ago, they said they had about 12,000 stores. They wanted 40,000 in 15 years around the world. Wrong. Within a year, they acknowledged that they were going to close 600 stores. Yeah, they you know, in other words, they we're going to have 40,000. Oh, by the way, we're going to close 600. That's what a lot of people think. Plateau is a good word. They think that they've gotten to their saturation point. Where have you? I mean, they got them only two corners. They got a Starbucks on the one side. What are you going to do? Chase? Yeah, well, they have plenty of people they screw over. Chase. Sorry for my foot. Okay, so now we have some time to review because we're done with the information in Chapter 5 and we're done with the calculations in Chapter 6. We can do these worksheets. Well, let's do at least a few of them. And then we should also discuss the few calculations from Chapter 5, price-to-earnings ratio. That's real tough, isn't it? Take the price divided by the earnings. Can you do that? The dividend payout ratio, take the dividends, divide them by the earnings. The dividend yield, take the dividends, divide it by the price. Those formulas will be on the exam. They're also, you can put them on your formula sheet. What's market capitalization? The number of shares outstanding times the current price. And that tells you whether it is a mama bear, a papa bear, or a baby bear. Papa bear, large cap, how much?
$10 billion
or higher. Mama bear?
5 or
2. 2 to 10, 1 to 10, depending who you talk to. And then baby bear, under 1 or under 2 billion. Mega cap, you don't have to know, that's over 100 billion. Micro cap, under 100 million. Just subcategories. Questions? Yes. Yes. All the different types of companies are fair game. The stock strategies, investing strategies is fair. All this stuff. Odd lots, dividends, selling short. What happens when you try to sell short? What are you trying to do? Make money when stocks go down. What happens when you buy on margin? You're borrowing money to buy an investment. Think it's a smart thing to do? You do. Well, it can magnify your gains and magnify your losses. Exactly. How would you like to tell your spouse, oh dear, I lost borrowed money? I mean, losing money is bad enough. You lose money that you don't even have. You have to buy, now you have to pay it back. Wait till we get to real estate. Oy, oy, oy. Okay, great. So any questions on any of the concepts or anything?
Nope.
Everything in the presentation of Chapter 5 is fair game. Everything in the presentation. And then all the calculations. So want to do worksheet number 2 together?
No.
What do you want? You tell me. You got 20 minutes. Okay, let's do number 1. Okay, let's do number 1. Crazy, man. Let's just do, because the price ratio models are all the same. So number 1, we'll do just the 1. But 1, 2, and 3 are all the same. So let's just do number 1 together. Okay, who will read number 1? Daniel, you want to read it? I'm sorry I cut you off. You go right ahead and read it. No, you don't want to. Okay, well, tell me. Okay, so they're expecting the earnings per share growth rate to be 12%. That's pretty serious. So we're going to use the price ratio models to predict next year's price. And conceptually, it's a little tricky, yes, but in practice, it's pretty darn straightforward. What do? Do you have your formula sheets? What's the first thing we do? We take the average P.E. of 18 over the last 5 years, and we get that from Value Line, or we calculate it ourselves. We multiply it by the current earnings per share. Got your calculator? No. Catch. Okay. A dollar. That thing was at 99 cents. Okay, go to the 99 cent store, get a calculator. Okay, how much is the current earnings per share? $3.62. Did I get that right? What did I do?
64.
I said it wrong, but I wrote it down correctly. And then we multiply it times what?
One,
which is 100%, plus the 12%. And that's 1.12. So 18 on your calculator times 3.64 times 1.12. And we think that Disney is going to be worth next year
$73.38.
Cool? Okay, now number two and number three are exactly the same. So you get one right, you're going to get the other two right. So let's do number four. Number four. Who will read number four?
Bitcoin Energy is currently selling for $1.24 per share. It is has been consistently paying a 95 cents in dividend. If our expected rate of return is 5%, how much will we be willing to pay for the stock? Will we consider the stock a good investment at $0.24 per share?
Okay, so it's an energy company, a utility, hint, hint, hint. If you see a utility that has been consistently paying dividends at such and such percent per year, which model are you going to use? Zero growth. The dividends are not growing. So the zero growth model. You see a dividend-paying company like a utility that's not growing their dividend, you use the zero growth model, which is actually very simple. We take the annual dividends and divide them by our required rate of return. Are you with me, folks? Am I going too fast?
No.
Some people are really quiet. When it gets really quiet, I have a bad feeling. So what's the annual dividends? 95 cents, 0.95. Divide that by our required rate of return. 5%, 0.05. And what do we think the stock is worth? Mr. Scoville says $19 and? $19 even? So it's selling for $24.50. Is that a good deal?
No.
If we're acquiring 5% rate of return, we go look elsewhere. Or we say, look, we're not going to get that much. It's a low-rate environment. Bonds are paying hardly any. Well, bonds are paying something. Not much. But CDs and savings accounts are paying nothing. Or at least they should. 0.01. What are you guys paying on your savings? 0.1. There you go. Go to Mission Federal. Get 0.1. 10 times what Chase is paying you. All right. Questions on that one? So what happens when you see a utility paying dividends that are constant? Which model do you use?
Growth.
Now, number five, is it? Number five. There. Tell Mr. Marcus. Marcus, you're right. This is your favorite song. Let's hear you. Number five. So, read number five.
Oh, Waste Management, Inc. is currently selling for around $41 per share and is paying $1.42 per year in dividends. The company has been growing the dividend at a constant rate of 6%. Our expected rate of return is 10%. At what price would we consider Waste Management be a good investment?
Okay, so they are currently selling for $41. And we see that they're paying $1.46, and we look at Value Line, or we've been watching their dividends, we've been seeing that they've been growing those dividends at about 6% a year. Not bad. Which model do we use? Got to say it out loud, folks. Which model do we use? Constant perpetual growth model. Everybody, which model do we use?
Constant perpetual growth.
You might think I'm crazy, you might be right. But when you say it, you actually activate different parts of your brain and learn it better than just watching somebody go. You know, you're watching and you're not learning as much, really. Trust me. Okay, so it's a very simple calculation. We take the annual dividends and then we multiply them times 1 plus that dividend growth rate. We then divide, so it's the same as up here, right? Except we've added this term. And then we divide it by the required rate of return minus the dividend growth rate. So you want to do it together? You want to do it on your own and then come back? Do it together? I need your help here. What's the annual dividends? Everyone should say? Everyone, what's the annual dividends? And what's the growth rate? You listen to the last 5 minutes because I have something to tell you. 1 plus 6%, you're too late, 1.06. And then we divide that by the required rate of return of 10% minus the 6%, 0.1 minus 0.06, or 0.10, if you will. And so what's the top? 1.46 times 1.06 is $1.5476. And then we divide that 0.10 minus 0.06, 0.04. And what do we think waste management is worth? $38.69. Everybody make sure you get that. Don't just let Matthew do it and Daniela. What is the model telling us? And this is true of a lot of the dividend-paying companies now. They've been so popular the last few years, and there's a lot of people who are looking at them going, you know, well, we're probably not going to get what we got the last few years. And I believe it, too. I'm not selling all my shares, but I'm not as optimistic as I was a few years back, where I was thinking, you know, if the world doesn't end, which is always a distinct possibility, if the world doesn't end, we should do well. People didn't want to hear that. They're in the fear mode. But the stock is selling for $41. The model's telling us it's worth 38 and a half. Not great. Not a great buy. Okay, questions? All right, let's do number six now. Who will read number six? Don't everybody? Who's going to? All right, Vanessa. All right. Okay, so who is Yum Brands, by the way? I'm sorry? Right! Kentucky Fried Rat, Taco Hell, and Pizza Crap. Pizza Crap. The box is more nutritional than the pizza, folks. Trust me on this. I know pizza. I'm Italian, okay? But they make a lot of money selling that crap to people, and they eat it. People eat it. You do a little bit of education. It might taste good to you, but it's not good for you. Anyway, if you eat it just about once a month or so, okay, go. But don't eat that stuff every day. Yeah, it's not good for you. Anyway, doesn't worry. Get off my soapbox. We're trying to make money here. If they want to eat it, that's all. If they want to smoke cigarettes, they want to eat that crap, go right ahead. Okay, so what do we do? Did you build your spreadsheet? 2014, 2015, 2016. The future cash flows are $1.48 in 2014, $1.52 in 2015, and $1.70 plus. Value Line tells us that they think the stock is going to be worth $96 in 3 years. So we then say, we have an 11% required rate of return. Where do you go? Go to the present value table. Go across to 11%. What's year number one? 901. What's year number two? 812. What's year number three? Everybody see that? Good. And so now, take 1 minute and 16 seconds and multiply those three together. I know Mr. Scoville's already done it, but I want to let some other people catch up.
Do you want us to round that up?
You know, it's up to you. Go right ahead. Because we want to avoid any pretense. You know what pretense means? Like a facade. Any kind of, hey, look how precise we are. Because we're not rolling the dice, but we're predicting the weather. It's going to rain tomorrow, and so we don't want to be real precise. So you go right ahead and round it. And so what's the first number? 1.919. Oh, 3.3. And let's just leave it at that. What's the second number? 1.28. And what's the third number? 71.41. Close enough. Okay. Add those three up and you get... No, it should be more than 72. 74.20. So the stock price is $73. Not a bad deal. If we require 11% rate of return. If we had bumped it up to 12%, we probably would be under 73. But if we just drop it to 10%, I don't know about you, but I'm happy with 8, 9. I'm happy with 8 or 9. Got it? Can you do this? Is it really that hard? I hope you think it's not that hard. I'm trying not to make it hard. Okay, last one. I'm going to read this one. The price of BioLace technology. This is a real company, by the way. This is the kind of company that I used to be a sucker for because this technology is so cool. It's currently around $3 a share. I'm glad I didn't buy it when it was $6 a share. The company is currently losing money, pays no dividends, but it has patents on teeth cleaning and whitening technologies. Tell me, do people want to look good, right? Yeah. And it should be very popular and profitable in the future. The average of the analyst estimates for the stock price next year is $4. We estimate the price in 5 years to be $6. And we require a rate of return of 14%. So is this a good buy for us? What do we do? Can we use the discounted cash flow model? Yes, because although it's paying no dividends, the dividends are basically worth zero because zero times anything is zero, but the stock price in 5 years to be $6, how do we discount that $6 back to the present? 5 years, 14%? 14%, 5 years, what's the future, the present value multiplier? 0.51. Everybody say 0.519. So I'm not worried about Matthew here. Lena, did you get that? Okay, you don't have the present value table. Say something. Say something to me. This is bad. This is not good. You have to learn how to do this. Don't just stand there. Don't play dumb. Okay. So $6 times 0.519. Go across 14% down to 5 years. Lino, go across 14% 5 years. What's the number?
0.519.
Good man! Now multiply $6 times 0.519. $3.11. So is it a good deal? However, this is the kind of company that could be $60 in 5 years or 6 cents in 5 years. So it is very risky. If you want 14%, that's actually not a bad deal, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. Whether or not it survives, some other company might come out with something that, sure, it makes your teeth white, but it also gives you cancer, right, or whatever. Risk and return.
Well, it's like you're like, I can lose $3 per
share. But it's still money. I mean, you're right. You can lose all $3. Doesn't matter if it was $30 or $3, it's how many shares you're going to buy, right? So yeah. Okay. I wish you the greatest success. Don't go away yet. Don't go away yet. I wish you the greatest success. I want you to use these techniques when you look at companies to buy and to invest in. But after you have done all your work, after you've done all these calculations, spend a day afternoon in the library, throw them all away. Just take them and put them in the shredder. And ask yourself, would I really want to buy FedEx? Do I want to own that company? Do I want to own Procter & Gamble or GE or Twitter or Facebook or BioLace Technologies? Would I want to own that company? And if so, yeah, I'll buy it. If not, eh. Peter Lynch, in his book, One Up on Wall Street, which you're going to read eventually, right? Nod your heads, yes.
Sit down for them.
She can't wait. She wants to move around. Yeah, I've started students like that who are like, if I were designing a classroom, I'd have things to do and places to lay down, and all these chairs are terrible. Anyway, Peter Lynch, in his book, One Up on Wall Street, said that after he had done all his research, he would put everything into a three-ring binder per company, right? So he had hundreds of these things lying around, thousands. I don't know how many he had, but he had all these three-ring binders with company information. He'd put in all the calculations he did and cuttings from newspaper articles and the like. This was in the 1970s and 80s. And then he, right before he would make his decision, he would hold up the three-ring binder and give himself the 30 to 90-second story. This company is FedEx. They are one of the three premier transportation companies in the world. They have been growing at such and such for so many years. They have a reputation that's unparalleled. If the economy continues to do well, they're going to continue to do well. That is why I'm buying them. Or this company is Twitter. They are wildly overvalued. Everybody, not everybody, but many of the millennials use them. They wouldn't live without it. But the price is way too high for my standards. But who knows? Maybe people will continue to buy it. So I'll buy it for 3 months and see what happens. But you understand what I'm saying? If you wouldn't want to own this company, as Warren Buffett says, if you wouldn't want to own the entire company, don't buy 10 shares. After you've done all your calculations, throw them away. Ask yourself, would you really want to own this company? And then buy it. And I think you'll do well. If you follow these techniques, I think you'll do well. It worked for me until 2008. Well, it doesn't always work. All right, any questions? Any questions? Be awesome on Thursday. Be awesome. Study hard. Get plenty of rest. Who snuck in late? I want to talk to some people. You need to go through these, okay? No, okay. You're going to do it, right?
I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it. Now you can contact.